Mary and Arthur, call Lord Jesus. Now through the veil we run. Now through the veil we run into your heart, Jesus. Now through the veil we run. Now through the veil we run. Now through the veil we run into your heart. Hey! Now through the veil.
Hallelujah. You are greatly to be praised, God. We thank you for this week. We thank you for this time when we can come before you, where we can praise you, where we can offer up our thanksgiving, where we can express our gratitude to you for the beautiful answered prayers that you've given us, Lord, and a testimony that you are building out in each and every one of us in different ways, Lord. We look forward to hearing the stories of how you've done them differently for each person, Lord God, but still showing your kindness and your goodness to be faithful to your word and to wanting to do what's right for your children. You said in Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13, I know the thoughts I have towards you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. You said that when we call unto you, we'll be found by you, Lord God. If we seek you with all of our hearts, we will find you. And all of these testimonies are just showing that your plans are good and that you are faithful to your word, Lord, and that you will give us the desires of our heart. And I just thank you for that. I thank you for how encouraging it has been listening to all the ones from yesterday and then today and the days to come, Lord God. We glorify you and magnify you with all of this, Lord. Receive our praise, receive our thanksgiving offering. Receive your glory, Lord, and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we are going to start off with Sharon. Sharon, if you could just unmute yourself and go ahead and share.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the two shorter testimonies, the health testimonies. In 2023, I woke up with excruciating knee pain and an inflamed right knee. So I'm reading the testimonies because it's easier for me to read them, because I get excited when I talk about God and then I forget my train of thought. So in 2023, I woke up with excruciating knee pain and an inflamed right knee. I could not bend the knee. Some nights before that, I would experience a sudden sharp pain in my knee and something flitting around my knee. I knew in the morning I woke up with an inflamed knee that it was a demonic attack. I prayed over my knee and got a ride to the clinic to get it diagnosed. The doctor diagnosed gout and ordered blood tests, but I knew it wasn't real. It was painful and swollen enough that I had to get rides to my workplace, and I even had to buy a cane. After the blood test came back normal, I put away the cane and used my faith and prayed over my knee. And after about 1 month, praise the Lord, my knee was back to normal. I haven't had any problems since, and I'm in my early 70s. So my second testimony, in about 2014, I woke up one morning with intense pain in my pelvic area and was bedridden for about a week. It was really excruciating. It was very difficult to get out of bed. Finally, I was able to get to the doctor and he diagnosed sciatica. He said there wasn't anything he could do except give me a painkiller, Tylenol. I told the doctor, I'm not keeping it. He looked at me and laughed. After I left the doctor, I made up my mind that I was not keeping the sciatica because there was no pain in God. I decided to exercise my faith and walk more. I haven't had an episode since. At that time, I was in my early 60s, so it could easily have become chronic. So I praise the Lord for that. So these next two testimonies are about a job, and the second one is about a job and housing. In 2001, after I was divorced, the Lord told me to move city back to where my family was living. I had no idea what I was going to do for work moving there. However, I moved back with my youngest child who had just turned 13 years old. After we moved back, I was speaking to an old friend whom I hadn't spoken to in years. She asked me what I was doing for work. I told her I didn't know, so she said she was doing medical transcription and that I could do that too because I had all the necessary skills. She said she would ask her supervisor about bringing me on and she would train me. Finally, I got an interview, and it was not easy for me to do the typing test because the computer kept freezing. And I went into that test cold because I'd never heard about medical transcription before, and I'd never transcribed anything. So my friend said it was a miracle I got the job. It was a job at the hospital, so the requirement was lower than the usual typing speed for transcription. Also, I had been praying and asking the Lord to help me find a job where I could use all my education and skills. After a year as a casual at the hospital where my friend trained me, I was able to find full-time employment. Praise God. And my second testimony about a job and a home. In 2023, I had to move out of the garden suite I was renting in Vancouver. I had also been looking for a part-time job for 2 years unsuccessfully. I could not afford the rental prices, so I was relying on the Lord. During the summer, my daughter came to visit from Melbourne, Australia. She returned with a high school friend she had reconnected with in Melbourne several years before. Her friend Anna came back to help her mother Kathy pack up the family home to sell so her mother could move to Melbourne to be with Anna and her son's family. After my daughter and Anna returned to Melbourne, I kept in touch with Kathy because she had to stay behind until the house was sold. Then one day I was late meeting up with Kathy, so she invited another friend to join us. While we were talking, Jing's phone kept ringing nonstop. She apologized and said she had put an ad in the paper for a living caregiver that was paying 6,000 monthly. We were both shocked, and Kathy said she would do it if she wasn't moving away, so I should do it. Then Jing said she would be happy if I could do it because she wanted someone with a kind heart. I never met this woman before, so I was really shocked when she said that. She kept talking about kind heart, kind heart, kind heart. Anyway, she told us all the horror stories. Had been treated in a respite care facility while Jing and her family went on vacation, and her present situation with the 24/7 caregivers the government provided and all the problems that had brought. To make a long story short, the Lord worked out everything 6 weeks before I had to move out of the garden suite in Vancouver. I moved into Yuquan Suite, that's a mother's name, which was a one-bedroom garden suite in Jing's lovely home in North Vancouver. I barely knew Jing or Kathy. I'd only met Kathy like a month or two before, and I just met Jing that day. But the Lord worked it out so that Yuquan was able to move immediately into the number one choice of the long-term care home Jing had chosen. In Canada, when you're moving into a long-term care facility, usually the family is asked to choose three homes, and you had to prioritize them. You had to put your number one choice as the first as the number one. The usual wait times for homes are about 2 years or longer, depending on the facility. But her mom got in because the government decided they couldn't continue to provide 24/7 care for her mother. So I no longer had to be a living caregiver providing overnight care, cooking, etc. I became a companion to Yuquan instead, providing additional 20 hours a week care in the long-term care home with vacation time off. I went from paying $1,300 a month rent to only $163 a month in a beautiful garden suite. It was the husband, Steve. I decided I should only pay $163 to cover utilities and for wear and tear on their furniture. The $1,300 had been a stretch for me, but it had been a lovely two-bedroom suite in Vancouver, which is another testimony. So the Lord provided work on a one-bedroom garden suite. And I had been praying for storage as well, which is very hard to find. It's very hard to find affordable places and places with storage. And I was really shocked that all my stuff, because I had been storing up food to prepare for what's coming. So I had all these boxes and bins, but everything fit in that garden suite in the two closets. I could not believe it. And what I forgot to say was that Jing's mom only spoke Mandarin. She did not speak English. And I kept telling Jing, are you sure you really want me? Because, you know, I don't speak a word of Mandarin. But she kept insisting. No, she wanted someone with a kind heart. That was the most important thing. So there I was working as a companion to this older lady. She was 90 years old, who didn't speak English, and providing the extra care in the long-term care facility. So the way I communicated with her was through an app, a Google app that translated English to Mandarin. It was challenging. So we weren't really able to communicate that well, but enough. And the name of the street that Jing lives on, what do you think the name of the street is? It's called Melbourne Avenue. Ha ha, the Lord has a sense of humor. So those are my testimonies. Thank you.
They are beautiful testimonies. Amen and amen. Wow. Sharon, can I ask you to pray for healing, just in general, for anyone who wants healing? And also for anyone who's looking to relocate because of a job situation or wherever God wants them to be in this season.
Okay.
Just pray, whatever's in your heart.
Okay. Lord, we just thank you for this time to come before you, Lord. It's so amazing, Lord, that the God of the universe has given us the privilege. Well, not to you, Lord, it's not a privilege. You love us, Lord. So you've given us the right to come to you with anything and everything. Lord, that is such a comfort to me. You know, so many times I've done that, Lord, because I've been so desperate. And Lord, I just bring everyone here who's on the call, Father. I bring their needs to you, Lord. I bring housing needs to you, Father. Lord, you said you are no respecter of persons, Lord. You've done it for me many times, Lord. That other beautiful two-bedroom gardens you provided for me in Vancouver, which even had storage, Lord. Who could have thought? Only two bedrooms in Vancouver, which is astronomical prices. It was $1,300 a month. Another amazing miracle, Lord. And where I am now is another miracle. Lord, you've done it for me. And I ask, Lord, anyone on this call who's looking for housing, Lord, won't you do that for them, Lord? You said you're no respecter of person, Father. You're their amazing God. You're their loving Father. And Lord, you're the God of the impossible, Lord. You know where those places are, Lord. You brought it to me, Father, when I was looking for that two bedroom in the middle of December. Who looks for a place in the middle of December to live? But Lord, you brought that two bedroom garden suite to me, Lord. And Father, I just ask for the impossible for these women on the call who are looking for homes, Lord. Whose finances seem like they just can't afford it, Lord. It doesn't matter, Lord. You know where those places are, Father. So I ask, Lord, that you would knock their socks off like you did mine, Lord. You've done that each time. It was unbelievable, Lord. North Vancouver was even more beautiful than Vancouver, Lord. You just knocked it out of the park each time. So, Lord, I ask that for these women too, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would guide them, Lord, and lead them, because you said your spirit, the righteous are led by you, Lord. The steps of the righteous are ordered, Lord. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, that their hearts and their minds, their souls would be in alignment with your will, Father. And Lord, if it's not, I ask that you'd help them, Lord, to see, to make the corrections, so that they would be in alignment with you, Father. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would lead them, guide them, Holy Spirit, just like you guided me. I had no idea what I was going to do the first time you asked me to move back to Toronto. And here I am again, Lord, in different circumstances, and you have been guiding me step by step again, Lord. It's been an adventure, Lord. So, Father, I ask, Lord, that you would strengthen them. Give them courage if they need it. Give them boldness. And Lord, just to stay open, Lord, and to just be willing to be out of their comfort zone, because eventually, Lord, what may not seem perfect turns out to be even better than they could even ask or imagine, Lord. So I ask, Lord, that you'd bring those jobs to them, Father. And just like I asked you, Lord, I had no idea what I was going to do when I came here. And Lord, you know, I prayed and I asked you, Lord, you know all of these women, their education, their experiences, Lord. So I ask, Lord, that you'd help them to find those jobs, or even the specific jobs, Lord, that they're asking you for, Lord, and that they've gotten degrees for, Father. Lord, we ask for all of those jobs, Lord, that you would bring not just a good job, Lord, but the perfect job. You know, just as you told us about good, better, best, the best job, Lord, the best ones, Lord, the best places to live, Lord, because your children are important to you, Lord, and you're our loving Father, and fathers always want the best for their daughters, Lord. So, Lord, we look forward to hearing all the testimonies of how you worked it out for everyone here. And we just thank you and we praise you because we know you are more than able to do abundantly beyond all we could ask or think, Father. We just love you so much, Lord. And it's so wonderful, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your goodness to us, Lord. And what an amazing relationship you've given us, Lord. It's so sweet, Lord. Truly, Lord, that's a word that I've started to realize, Lord. It's so sweet to walk with you, Lord. Truly, there's a sweetness there, Lord. And Father, I ask for anyone here who hasn't experienced that yet, Lord, would you help them to see how sweet you are, Lord? In Jesus' name and by his authority, I pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, amen. And we pray that for the men too that are on the line, Lord. All right. Okay. So we're going to have Judith share next. Okay, Judith, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for having me again to share more testimonies. This indeed has been a blessing, like I said, and I needed it. So yeah, I would like to share more testimony of where I've seen God in my life and how much he has done for me. And I hope this will encourage and bless everybody else as well as I've just been blessed with the first lady as well that just gave her testimony. Thank you so much. I want to give my testimony of like, my husband is not a believer. I have tried everything to encourage him. So instead, end up bad. We end up not having a good environment. So I want to first thank the Lord for blessing him with me because just like I know what the first lady's name was saying, that I have not worked for like years. I don't know where I stand without the Lord. I really don't. But he has provided and blessed me through my husband. We met in Scotland. We were both students there, and he's German, and I'm from Africa. So the Lord has blessed me with him in a lot of ways, in him being the provider financially and everything, and he has helped me with me and my family. And whatever I have, he provide. He makes sure we're looked after and, you know, kept for. Though it was not easy to share, you know, the same faith together, he refused because I sensed that due to his upbringing, he too had a rejection from his dad's side. So I think all that anger and whatnot make him think there's no God. And he tried to read the Bible. So he refused to accept what was in the Bible and shut it off. And then so I was pretty much the same thing, rejected, you know, my own dad. I didn't go up with my dad. And but I knew God because, you know, I was with God with my family. I was introduced. So I have faith, and I saw me coming from Africa to UK was God. It was not my family, no one at all. So I see him greatly in my life. So I tried to encourage him, and he was going to church with us and everything until I think sometime in 2014 or so, when I was now craving for the Lord and I started getting deep into knowing the Lord, worshiping at home and all the stuff. Let's say that ticked him off. It didn't go well. But despite the headache he gave me trying to serve the Lord, threatened that the children will not believe God anymore and he will make sure everybody turned away, and he did really put hell in that house. It wasn't easy. But I saw the mercy of God on him. Because when he was doing that, he was having attack as well. Like he was get like shoulder bone problem just out of nowhere. And he will go to the doctor. They can't help him. The medication can't work. And due to me now knowing that, okay, don't, like Jesus, you know, told the people, God, forgive them for they do not know what they're doing. You don't have to look at someone ignorance or anger. And then you know who you are, who God is, for you to take and step in. So I would pray for him when he's sleeping. I will lay my hand on where he's hurting, and I will pray for 7 days. I'll just ask for mercy because I did not have any words what to say. I'll just ask for mercy, and I will watch him every day, see him getting better. Every day I see him getting better. Every day till 7 days, completely, whatever the pain was disappeared, and he wouldn't say a word. But I would thank the Lord quietly on his behalf. So I've seen so many miracles and healing on him as well. And whatever he would get, doctors can help him. It has to be God. And despite that, I thank the Lord for him being a blessing to me and my family, because he has provided for my mom in desperate need. And whatever I ask for, he doesn't say no. He will always come in and help. So I thank the Lord for him, despite our differences in faith. And I'm trusting the Lord that in the future, he will get him to change. And only that, in regards to love part, because I'm from Africa, when I used to date, we don't hold hands or show affection. So with him, he was used to break that out of me, that, you know, you don't just have partner and walk side by side, but you have to show affection and have that connection. So I see a benefit there, and I praise the Lord for me to be more loving, giving outside rather than just, you know, flowers and good words in here and there. So I thank the Lord for that for him, and I'm very grateful. And I would like to share that if anybody's having any partner out there that is unbelieving, that the Lord will give them the wisdom and encourage them, that let them just focus on the Lord and on the person, and not to give up on them even, because there's so many times we nearly give up. And 3 times, I think he tried to make an attempt to divorce. Whenever he did that, the Lord would lead me to step in immediately to stop it. For whatever reason, I do not know, because I know none of his family has faith, and I'm scared for him. He's the only man not to get lost, and then that's it. The family, you know, would be doomed. It's like I make it my business to pray for him, and I believe that's what God aligned me for with him. He provided, we never lack, and I provided the spiritual aid of my life for him and his family. And believe you me, it has not been easy, but the Lord is faithful and true and loving, and he has supported and protected all of us. That I give him the praise for. And I'm happy for him and grateful for him. And I try not to see his behavior and thinking, I just focus on Jesus. So, and that being said, it took a while after years struggle. Now, listen to the Lord, now start imparting on me wisdom, how to get him feel included, because he was feeling left out when I was taking the children to read the word of God, pray and fast. He got angry. So now the Lord is teaching me to start including him, not in the prayer and worship part, but when it comes to the children, whatever I'm speaking with the child, the children, trying to discipline them, let him know, and then ask him, and we both talk together. So I talk to him first, and he gets to know what's going on, and I share with him what the Lord has given to me. But I want to tell him he's a Lord. I have to use wisdom to speak to him to think that, oh, it's something coming from me. But I know it's the Lord. So that has encouraged him. He felt more accepted. He felt more involved with the children. And I'll advise him what to do with his daughter, because she's 16 and she got shut off from him. What to do to try to connect, because she's soon about to go to college. So he see that I'm helping. I'm trying for him to have a bond with his daughter once more, and then his son, because he wanted indeed to provide for these children, because his dad was not there for him. So I think he felt when I was doing that, that I was taking that away from him, and he got angry. But I thank the Lord for his wisdom and his love, and seeing that I was ignorant, and he corrected it. And I see the change now, how we are working together and looking away from our differences and not allowing our differences to step in the way to bring up these children and bring them up in a loving home. So I wanted to share that to encourage others out there. And then only that as well, again, so the healing that God has done for him. So secondly, how the Lord has come through for him, you know, and then, like I said, when he has like shoulder attack and spine, and how the medicine did not work, and, you know, how the Lord showed me what to do, and through his mercy healed him. And also how he has healed me personally from various medical problems. I've got like hormonal imbalance. He healed me from hormonal imbalance, appendicitis, swollen ovary veins. They call it thrombosis, something you have on your leg. For me, it was in my ovaries, and that was very painful. And I had 2 children, a 4-year-old and a newborn. And my husband traveled a lot, because he traveled a lot to conferences, and I had to stay home in the house, look after the kids, take them to school with that pain, that sometimes painkillers doesn't even work. So it was not easy. And then these things all happen in various timing. Like, for example, the gallbladder surgery that I got done, an appendix, was after I had my first daughter. After I had my first daughter in 2009, it didn't take long. I had the sharp pain and went to doctor. They said gallbladder, I have to do surgery. And it didn't take long after that. It didn't take long. They said I have appendix. I said, you guys did scan. You did not see the appendix. I have to do appendix again to be removed. Okay, that problem went away. And then me being brave, I'll have another child again. And I went and have another child. Again, after the child, now again, I have to have hernia. Another surgery. I got surgery done, hernia. And then now I have this vein problem in my ovaries that was very hard to detect. So thank God, through to the mercy and the love of God, one of the doctor that I had, she persisted and checked, do a lot of scanning. Eventually, she realized that my ovaries, veins were swollen. And this was what was causing the pain. So she had to find for me a doctor to help me. The first doctor that I wanted to use, the Lord was not happy with this person. He didn't permit it. How we had some insurance problem. And the guy kicked me out, said he doesn't want to work with me. He's not going to do surgery. Let me go elsewhere. And he recommended Tampa General. At this time, I was living in Tampa, Florida. He suggested Tampa General. And I was having a hard time. It wasn't easy. Life was not going well, medical-wise, and the list goes on. And then, so with this hospital, now I was able to get surgery done. And that's why I experienced the best doctor ever. And I believe that moment the Lord was there. Because when I went to go see this doctor, I have never felt peace. Like the presence of God was there and loved in his room. It was different. I was sitting there. I wanted to cry. So, oh my goodness, this doctor, I don't feel hate. I don't feel anything negative. I just feel like loved and cared for. When he's speaking, it was different. And then there was another doctor that was standing beside him. I don't know if he was supposed to be there. He said nothing. He just stood there very still and just looking at me. And I was like, happy, like he just gave me this peaceful look, and the entire experience was amazing. Even during the surgery, he was always asking me, Judith, are you okay? Judith, are you okay? Until everything went well, I had no side effects, nothing at all. So these are the surgeries I've gone through with the Lord, and he has been there for me. He has protected me. He has delivered me. And even to the worst one, that when I gave birth to my first child, I lost all of my blood after I delivered. So the enemy wanted to attack me there. And the Lord came through again and saved me, did not allow me to die that day after giving birth, because I repented and I asked for forgiveness. I only prayed the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd time over and over and over while they were wheeling me over to the surgery area. And the Lord came through for me and the bleeding stopped immediately. I was able to be taken back and go home to look after my child. And so these are among the testimony, and also the hormonal imbalance. I was doing a treatment for 5 years. They go and tear your skin, sometimes your buttocks, and then they're supposed to insert a pellet into your fat. And they're supposed to bring the body back to normal. And that worked. But after a while, the doctor could not get the numbing medication anymore. It was being produced, but he was not getting it. So now he has to use local way of trying to numb me, and it was not working. It was becoming painful now. And I was crying. I said, okay, this is not working. This is not going to work. And I asked the Lord, I asked the guy, the doctor, I said, how long can one go through this for the rest of your life? I said, I'm not doing that. I said, this is not happening. I said, now I'm working with the Lord. I've changed my way. I've walked away from the world. I'm not praying, fasting, doing all this stuff. And I'm now seeing what is. I said, no, he's going to heal me. I said, I can't continue like this anymore. So I've been still going there. And then later I said, Lord, I know you can heal me. I know you're able. I've seen you. You've done it for me. Why are you bringing me here? Why are you making me come here? Just say the word now, and I know I'm here. Why am I here? And then later on that day, the doctor reached out to me. Hey, I know you know about God, and you talk all about him. Can I talk to you about him? I want to know about him more. So he was a believer, but he walked out of faith because of an incident that he had. So I was able to talk to him and encourage him, and encourage him to read the Bible once more and come to God. And then within that time that I was attending to him, he was having surgery too. He was having major surgery too. And the Lord would lead me to pray for him. He will lead me to step in to pray for this doctor, for the enemy not to have his way. And I said, oh, wow, Lord, forgive me that I did not see that I'm not here because of procedure. They can't heal me. You are here to try to reach out to somebody else of a lost child as well. Again, that I will play an important role to you because of the people that he's meeting. So I was there. I, you know, held on after a while. I couldn't. But after 5 years, I didn't go anymore. I said, okay, I know I'm healed. I'm done. I said, I'm not going anymore. And lo and behold, ever since then, I never had that hormonal imbalance problem anymore. The Lord answered and he healed me, and I didn't have to have any treatment because I had to move away at some point. So that's my testimony for that, that when you trust him and things go on, you know he can. You ask him, he will tell you what he's doing, why he's keeping you there. And at the same time, healing will come. And then the other one is my mother. At 2016, I just enrolled to go to college to go get my bachelor degree because work was not going well for me. Everywhere I go, I come out crying. It was never a good environment for me. I get hated when I try to love and help. It just was not working. So I said, let me go get a bachelor degree. Hopefully, I will look for something that's much better rather than just starting low. That time, my mom now got stroke at the same time. I said, okay, this is not helping. How am I going to do it? But the peace of God was there to help me to focus on my study at the same time to help my mom. Now, the weird thing that happened that my mom is that when she got the stroke, they told me, see, your mom is, my sister come and see, your mom is sounding weird. She's not sounding normal. I said, okay, let me hear her and let me speak to her. So when I start speaking to her, I said, mom, are you okay? And she sound like she's sounding like gibberish. I said, oh my goodness. I said, immediately take her to the emergency. I said, that stroke that is about to take over her body. I said, please go. Somehow my brother, having fear of doctors and medication and the list goes on, he refused to take her for 7 days. So I was going back and forth with them. Please take mom to the hospital. He would not. Only through the mercy and the love of God, eventually he complied, took her, and then now she was not paralyzed on the right side, her hand and the leg, and then she couldn't speak anymore now. So totally speech gone. So, but thank God, due to that, we were able to send money to help her and get her to a good hospital. They were able to revive her and bring her home. She's able to walk and then, you know, do stuff for herself. And she's still healthy, and I give God the glory and praise for that. Sparing our mom, due to ignorance and whatever fear my brother was going through, nearly endanger the death of our mother. So I praise the Lord and see the power of his might and his children out there when you obey him, when you listen to him. So that was a miracle for my mom to be alive. And also the time that the Lord Almighty showed up when my graduation was double booked with my husband's citizenship, because we were now in America for more than 10 years. We, a family member said, can't you apply for citizenship already? You don't know where the future holds. I said, okay, fine. We're going to try and do that. So we did. And then on the way, we booked, they gave us an appointment when we were supposed to do an interview for the citizenship and then everything to see when to go for our passports. My husband's was to be first, but because we were not well prepared, somehow it got switched. He got canceled and we have to rebook. So, okay, within that cancellation, we were able to prepare well. We go online to find proper ways to study so we can be well prepared to go through it. Now, when the day come for the citizenship, we realized that it's been booked the time for my graduation. I said, oh, and that's like 4 hours. We have like 4 hours for his interview, and then we go for my graduation, and I want my family to be there. I said, oh Lord, I need the Lord here. This is miracle. I need him to help me. So the Lord has been leading me in worship, and then just worship song in Paul Wilbur and all these different to just declare his greatness and the might of how he's able to come in. Now, also in regards to the graduation, I forgot to put in my application that I'm graduating. So therefore, the time I did it was too late. The list has already gone through. So they say, if you go, you will go, but we will give you the diploma and your certificate later on the side. I said, man, after all these years for nothing? I said, this sucks. This can't be this way. So we got to see. I said, I got to see God in here. I said, I know the God that I serve. I know he's going to come heavy. He's going to come mighty. It's now double book. And then that. I said, okay, let's see what God has. The day come, the kids were excited. We got dressed, changed, and then drove to the passport office, and then we were praying. My husband went in, and he was there for about 3-4 hours, so he was able to come out 3 to 4 hours, so he was able to come just in time. The moment he finished his interview, he said, I pass, I'm gonna come tomorrow for my come another day for my passport and everything. And then we drove to the school, to the place to go graduate. Went a little bit late, you know, everybody was already in there, not late but just about to start. And then I said, okay, let me go and check in if my name is there. And I said, okay, I'm here to sign in. My name is Judith. And she's like, oh, what is your name? I said, well, I was late in putting my name in. I said, if it's there. She said, well, guess what? Things have changed. The dean will not have to go through the list anymore. Now everybody have to write their name. As you go up, you give your name and you're announced. Man, I wanted to backflip and do Michael Jackson dance if I could. I'm like, oh, my goodness. That is the power and the work of God. He changed times. He can change things. He changed this moment to make sure that I will walk up that platform for all these years, that is not for nothing. Oh, the joy. I was beaming ear to ear for the my ears to ears for the entire time of that ceremony. And lo and behold, that's what happened. When the ceremony was over, we lined up to enter. To go up and receive a certificate. I was the last person to go up. And then when I stood there and they called my name, I looked. I just felt like him saying, "You see, this is what I do for my children. You be recognized and be saying, no, that this is me that is doing this." And I just came down happy the entire time. I was so happy and given the praise and the glory. It was amazing. It was just the work of God, the mighty hand of work, and to show that he owns everything. The world is his, including the people. So there's nothing he cannot change. There's nothing he cannot stop. There's nothing he cannot reverse. Absolutely nothing. And then the next day I went for my passport, I took all day for the interview. My husband was 3 hours. For me, all day. I said, well, amen. You know what? I'm not complaining. This is the work of God. It was his favor. It was there and it helped us. And that was glorious and amazing. So I really thank him for all of that amazing things that he's been doing in my life. And then my son as well has like a teeth problem, like braces. So he trusted God. But because of he heard that he might have surgery and all this stuff, his faith started dwindling with God. Because we prayed, we did pray. We pray. But sometimes you got to go through things. And the Lord will go through us a song by one of these ladies. How can you not see God in every little thing? He's one working. So he's trying to encourage us that it is me doing this. Don't try to remove it. Let him go through it. So I try to encourage him. I said, don't be afraid. God is in it. You'll be fine. So when we trusted him, we stopped worrying about it. The next time they went, the doctor did an x-ray. He said the teeth that was now not forming, overlapping, and thought they would do surgery to break is gone. Everything is aligning, coming back and forming out proper. Oh, the joy on that child's face, and everything was so happy, and we gave him the glory and the praise. And that is the greatest news the Lord has been doing to me in my life. And I hope that this will help everybody out there, that children or anything you're going through, if he said he's in it, be patient. And hold on, he will come through for you, never fail you. So that's what I want to share, and many more. And I thank you for giving me the opportunity. That's all. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. We're going to have amen. Daisy. Daisy share now. Daisy, I hope you have a good connection. See if you can share today, Daisy.
All right. Hi, Nicole. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Yes, we can.
All right. Okay, so I'm going to give just one because of the time. So during the fast, the last fast we had, by the second day, I was speaking with one of my younger ones, and I was like, okay, give your brother the phone. And she goes, no, he's been taken to the hospital. I was like, why? She said, I have no idea, but he's not back. So I quickly called my husband. And I said, what's going on with Daniel? So for those who know, Daniel is my second son, who has hearing loss. So we really need to pay attention if he's not feeling well. So immediately my husband said, oh, he told him he couldn't breathe and he was having pains in his chest. So he was taken to the A&E and admitted immediately because his stats were bad. That was second day of the fast. So that was like a very trying day for me. And as soon as I got the details of what was going on, and my husband was saying they had tried to stabilize him like four different times. He had been unstable. And I was like, devil, you're a liar. You're in trouble today. And immediately I dropped the call, called my other children, and I said, this is what is going on, but this is what God has said. Let's break bread and declare what we want. And my oldest is 18 and my youngest is 9. She'll be 10 this month. As soon as we did that, we started declaring what Jesus had done on the cross. And The next thing, I said, okay, let me call my husband back. By the following day, he said, oh, they've moved us to the wards, that it's not getting better. I said, well, we've already said during the fast, first the blade comes. It's first the blade before we finally get the harvest. Father, I see the blade already. I see the blade. I see you're working already. And I kept pronouncing over and over. And I had a video call with my son, and my son was telling me, Mom, pray. And I said, God has healed you. I just told him, God has healed you. You're fine. And he just said, Amen. Within 2 days, they had discharged him. All the tests had, all the stats came back. It was fine. They weren't even sure what they were managing. They weren't sure what caused the pains he was having in his chest and the breathing issues. I just want to thank God. I just want to thank God for his healing. God showed up. I could easily have gone off the fast because of that distraction. I just want to thank God that he's healed. He's 2 days later, the older one fell ill, and immediately I'll stand in the gap. Already for each and every one of you, you can only walk in good health, nothing else. No other negotiations. And I think within about 24 hours, he sent me a message and said, Mom, I'm fine. I'm doing well. So I just want to thank God for his healing. His healing. And that for the first time, I wasn't distracted during the fast. I was full focused throughout the fast, and God has been at work. Then the second thing I want to thank God for was this fast was just different. This fast was different. I found myself declaring things and seeing them happen almost immediately. And I just want to thank God for that. And I want to thank you for Nicole and everyone that was on the fast. Thank you for all the prayers. My birthday was Saturday, and I got so many words. And the beauty of it all is ahead of time, it's like God giving you customized gifts. I'm someone that loves fruits, and someone brought a whole bag of fruits for me. I was just like, wow. Another one, I've been receiving gifts that I did not buy with my money. God may actually supplied them without me actually requesting for them. He sent people to bring them. And I just want to thank God for that. To God be all the glory. To God be all the glory. And I know that greater things are going to come up. We'll have more testimonies coming up. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
All right, amen. So
Lord be good.
We're going to have Joanne share the last one. And then Joanne, if you could close us out in prayer when you're finished.
Okay. I don't know if I could do it in 2 minutes, if that's okay with everybody.
No, just keep going. Just share your testimony and then you can end. It's okay if we go over. All right.
Okay, so I'm going to read it. It's something that I wrote out, and it's it's what the Lord wants me to share. And so I'm just going to read it now. One sec. And some of you have already heard it, but maybe some of you have not. So anyway, on August the 8th, 2022, we received news that my dad had terminal lung cancer. And my parents live in a complex, a retirement complex. And they said in the complex, like when the doctor came over, that he could move next door into assisted living. He was like 90, 93 at the time. And the doctor said that he would sign the paper right away. So we got the impression that my dad was going to pass any day. And the doctor also told us that he would have difficulty breathing because it was lung cancer. He would require oxygen and he would be in a lot of pain. And I was not looking forward to this because when I was a teenager, my dad got hit by a car. So a lot of these memories came back when I just saw him writhing in pain. And the doctor, in the meantime, had arranged to have a medical kit sent to their apartment in the retirement home so that it would be available, you know, when he had pain and such. And it was hard because my dad was a great example to our family. He took us to church every week. He tithed faithfully. He was on his knees every night saying his prayers, but he did not have a personal relationship with the Lord. He would just say the same prayers over and over again, and he never read the Bible. So when I visited him in his home, I asked if I could read the Bible, and I'm a little bit nervous about that, but he said, okay. And so I was very grateful of that, and he liked it. So I was very encouraged. And so, you know, I said, I'll leave you this Bible for you. But then he just put it underneath the table, like he wasn't going to read it. But he was okay for me to read it to him, but he wasn't going to read it on his own. So I would search for all kinds of scriptures to read to him, you know, just saying what heaven's going to be like and just all these wonderful things and wanting to bring the good news because I knew his death was imminent and I was looking for scriptures on peace and hope and, you know, just different scriptures that would try to lead him to salvation. And at one point when I was doing this, the Lord had spoken to me and he said, I don't need any help. I didn't realize what I was doing, but then it became evident that I was trying to intercede for the Lord, for his salvation. And so I was like, okay. And so it was actually one of my sisters here that I had shared with, and her name is Raquel. I don't know if she's on tonight, but she said, you know, you just have to be a daughter to your father and just love him and just be yourself. And she shared about how her father was at end of life. And 2 weeks before he passed, he had accepted the Lord. Wow, that's amazing. And I had another friend in the United States, I live in Canada, who shared the same thing. She said her father accepted the Lord 2 weeks before he passed as well. And so with those two ladies saying those testimonies, it gave me encouragement to just trust in the Lord, to just give it over. And I said, okay, like if it's somebody in hospice or somebody like that, that would be able to witness to him, you know, I'd just pray for Christians to be around him and just pray for him. And so I said, okay, Lord, I would trust you that, you know, somebody will do something. I don't know. Anyway, you know, I asked if I could still read scriptures, and I could. So he really liked Numbers, you know, Numbers 23. And so I would read that to him all the time, and he really liked that. He found that very comforting. And I was just reading another scripture, and I said, oh, I haven't read this one. And I started reading it. And I said, hey, Dad, you know, we are all sinners, you know. It says in Romans 23, all of us have sinned and we fall short of the glory. But there's a consequence. There's a consequence to the sin. It was like I was reading like a story to him. And I said, the wages of sin is death. God still loves us, you know. And in Romans 8, it says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us, that we were still sinners that Christ died for us. And God offers this free gift to us. I said, but there's a stipulation. You have to accept this free gift because it says the gift of God the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And it says, if you openly declare that Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you can be saved. Everyone who calls on his name will be saved. And my dad said, "Well, I believe all of it. I have him in my heart." I went, "What?" I couldn't believe it. At that moment, I realized that my dad had just accepted the Lord. And he gave me the opportunity to witness his salvation. I couldn't believe it. Ah, I can't express the joy that I had. And, you know, I had prayed for my dad for 42 years. And it was 11 days before he had passed. And, and so coincidentally, I prayed for my dad for 42 years. And on the 11th day is the day that I got saved, November the 11th. So that was really special. And I saw such a transformation with my dad. I mean, it was amazing. I didn't know this person anymore. He was so transformed. It was incredible. And even the day that he died, the doctor came in and the nurses, and they said, "He's our sweetheart. He's always laughing and thinking, why the fuck is dying any day, any second, and he's laughing and telling jokes." Like, the transformation that I saw my dad is absolutely incredible. I'll never forget it. It was such a hard time in my life, but such an amazing, glorious time for me at the same time. Isn't it the way that God works? When you're going through something really hard, he is there with you. And you know, my dad did not have any pain. He did not need any oxygen tanks. He didn't need any of that stuff that they had said 3 months earlier that he would need. So it was just so amazing. And and the other thing is, like, I had prayed for him for 42 years, and my dad worked for the railroad for 42 years. There was just a lot of numbers. I'm not into numerology, but there was just a lot of coincidences. I just knew that God was in all of this. And the other thing that I want to tie into this is, I had ordered the flowers for my dad's funeral, and oddly enough, my dad's favorite color is mauve. And so I had a hard time finding mauve flowers, but I found some that didn't really look masculine. They are like a sort of a darker purple with white flowers. And so I was looking forward to seeing them at the funeral, but that wasn't what happened. They weren't there. They had yellow roses. And my mom has dementia, and we decided not to tell her that my dad had passed, because she was far enough gone that she didn't realize she had a husband. She didn't recognize him. So we just thought if we took her there, it would just be very confusing. But guess what the favorite flower is of my mom's? Yellow roses. So even though my mom wasn't there physically, the yellow roses were there on top of my dad, representing my mom being with him there at the funeral. I thought, oh, that is just like the icing on the cake, you know? And the other thing, too, is you have to be aware of these little signs. Like, if you're not aware of your surroundings, you don't pick these things up. Like, my brothers knew that mom's favorite color was yellow roses, but they hadn't picked it up, you know. So sometimes it's just being aware of your surroundings as well. So I just wanted to end with that. It was just a glorious time and such peace through it all. And I missed my dad, but it was just amazing. So I pray, Heavenly Father, I just pray people will not give up on the salvation of their lost loved ones. Their parents, their brothers, their sisters, their spouses, their siblings, their neighbors. Lord, it was 42 years and you answered my prayer, and I'm just so grateful for that. So I just pray that you would answer the prayers of all the people here on the call, that they will persevere and keep knocking on your door, Lord, asking for the lost ones that they're pleading for. And I just pray that you would show yourself real and true, like you did for me in so many different ways, that you were with me all the way through. And I'm just so grateful for that. And we thank you, Lord, and we just bless you and love you, Lord, for all that you do. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Thank you for the tears right before you left, before we ended here. I could hear that story a million times. It's so good. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank all of you for sharing. This is so fantastic. Fantastic. God. Oh. It's amazing the beauty of us giving you glory. But then at the same time, we are being fed by this. Our faith can go to a whole new level just by hearing the testimonies of others. And I thank you for how that works. It's like it has dual purpose. Plus, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. So now we have triple use of the testimonies. They're a weapon of warfare. They're for encouragement, and they also give God his glory. We thank him for that. Okay, guys, for those of you who haven't shared yet, if you're like, I have a testimony I want to share, send me an email and let's get you on the schedule. Let's get you on the schedule. And I just want to thank all of you who shared this evening and come join us again. We're here. We're going to keep doing this for this week. Love you all. Have a good evening.
Yeah, love you too. Have a good night, everyone.
Love you.
Thank you.
Love you all. God bless you.
God bless you.